and especially Scripture. He wrote quite a bit of it, and we'll learn more about that in our message here in just a little bit. I'm going to read a couple different snippets of some of John's life to you this morning. Definitely not in its entirety, as there's a lot to talk about with John as well, but we'll get an idea of what he was like and some of the things that he was up against as well in his life, as well as he was a follower of Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 9, beginning at verse 38, going through verse 41. And this is entitled, "Whoever is not against us is for us." And so there are people out doing ministry in Jesus' name. And so you'll see in this reading here, John comes across some of those people and he doesn't like what's going on. And so this is what happens. "Teacher," said John, "we saw a man driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop because he was not one of us." "Do not stop him," Jesus said. "No one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about me. For whoever is not against us is for us. I tell you the truth. Anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to Christ will certainly not lose his reward." So we see what John does there as he sees others minister. Now turn with me to John chapter 13. And I'm going to read a few verses around verse 23 so you got an idea what's going on here. They are up in the upper room, and Jesus is going to predict his betrayer, Judas Iscariot. And so they're gathered, they're having communion together, they're breaking bread, they're dipping it in the wine, so they're having that Last Supper, and Jesus has a conversation. And you're going to pick up on, it's going to talk about John here, and I'll fill in the blanks for you as I read. So beginning at verse 21, John chapter 13. "After he had said this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and testified, 'I tell you the truth, one of you is going to betray me.' His disciples stared at one another, at a loss to know which of them he meant. One of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved," now we're talking about John here, "was reclining next to him." He was actually, if you read the Hebrew, he actually was resting against his shoulder. His head might have even been on his shoulder or whatever, and he's right next to Jesus as he's sitting there and they're having the Last Supper together. So that's what John's doing. The disciple that Jesus loved. "Simon Peter motioned to this disciple and said, 'Ask him which one he means.' Leaning back against Jesus, John asked him, 'Lord, who is it?' And then, of course, you know that it goes on. It's Judas Iscariot. And then go back to 1 John chapter 3. John wrote a lot of work on love, what that looked like for the Christian, how we should act, how we should be, all kinds of love, the love of God towards his people and so on. So I want to give you a little bit of taste of this, of what John wrote, and we'll talk about that in the message this morning. John chapter 3, we're going to begin at verse 9, and we're going to end through 10. "No one who is born of God will continue to sin, because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning because he has been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother." The reading of the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we've heard from your word this morning. As we gather here, may you bless us with your presence of your Spirit. May these words be your words and never my own. I pray you fill me with that same Spirit as I deliver this message to your people. And Lord, may your people be challenged. May they grow in their faith. May you open their hearts and their minds and their souls with the Spirit. In Jesus, I pray these things. Amen. How many of you enjoy a good parade? Quite a few of you probably do. This coming week here in Inwood, many of you will be a part of or you will observe the parade here in town. They are enjoyable. It's a social gathering. Many people gather from the countrysides and families return and so on to gather for the parade. It gives us the opportunity to celebrate our town. It gives us the opportunity to celebrate who we are. It gives us the opportunity to celebrate what we do and what we stand for. The Apostle John, in his early life as a disciple of Jesus, fell into this trap of parading himself around like he had it all figured out. Now, he had a special calling from Jesus to be a follower. He was an apostle. He was ordained with the Holy Spirit, and he spoke well of Jesus, and he did great things throughout his ministry. But in his young life, he kind of parade himself around as if he had it all figured out. He thought there was no one better than the 12 disciples of Jesus Christ. John, in his early life, in his early ministry, he had a little bit of arrogance about him, possibly. Maybe you know someone that's similar. Surely not yourself, right? This morning we're going to look at the life of John. And we're going to learn about this apostle and his life. John was the author, like you heard Al speak, the author of the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and the book of Revelation. Besides Paul and Luke, John wrote more scripture than those two. Wrote a lot of scripture. He played a major role in developing and growing the early church and its foundation, what it looked like, what was involved in worship, and so on. John set a lot of those rules in place. His younger brother was James. He's the younger brother to James. He loved to hang out with Peter. If you read scripture, quite a bit of it, you'll see that these two are mentioned side by side quite often. Peter and John. Peter and John comes up quite often in scripture. The personality of John mirrors the personality of James. James was loving and kind and passionate, right? Right? No, he's a little brash, kind of harsh, a little short sometimes, maybe even a little bit hot-headed sometimes as he did ministry. John was the same way as his brother. But John aged well. He outlived all the other disciples, lived to an old age, somewhere around 80 or 90 years old, the only one that lived a full life. John passed away somewhere in AD 98, it's believed, or shortly thereafter. He was exiled to the island of Patmos, where he would suffer persecution for his belief in growing the name of Jesus Christ in the church and the world. He lived there for many years, and it's believed that he died from old age of being on that island in exile. And while in exile, he wrote the book of Revelation that we have today. John is an amazing example of what should happen to us as we grow and we mature in our faith. We use the big church word sanctification, which describes the process of becoming more like Jesus Christ every day in our lives. When Jesus called him, he referred to him as the son of what? Remember from last week, his brother James, they're the sons of what? Thunder. Right? That's why Jesus referred to him. But if you were to read through your scripture this morning, and I'll tell you, as John progressed in his life, he became known as the Apostle of Love. The Apostle of Love. That's what he became. A huge transformation had taken place in his life as he followed Jesus Christ. But early on in his life, he didn't always possess those things. He didn't always show the love that he should have shown to others as he lived his life. And in Mark chapter 9, which I read to you earlier, verse 38 through 41, gives us a great example of this. Verse 38, teacher, he says, so he's speaking to Jesus. We saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we told them to stop because he was not one of us. Now you see a little bit of how John was acting. Maybe he thought he was a little bit elite in his life. He had an intolerance towards others, a very unloving side to another believer. He thought he might have been a little better than the rest. And maybe only these 12 disciples should do ministry. And here we see the sons of thunder come out in John, the weaknesses. There are other instances in Scripture where we see John get himself into trouble. We see at one point where they're actually arguing with each other, who's the greater disciple? Who should sit at the right hand of God the Father or Jesus? They ask that. They use their mother to ask Jesus that question. And then we find in Scripture too, where once in a while, they get into some heated arguments as they do ministry. John's in the middle of some of those arguments. Often, they would exalt themselves. Sometimes they might even put each other down and would fight once in a while. Doesn't sound too different than today, does it? Amongst families or amongst neighbors or amongst the church people as well. We still see some of those same things that take place today. But then he goes on to say, do not stop him, Jesus said. For no one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about me. Often wondered, why would John confess that? Why would he tell Jesus that he's seen somebody doing ministry in your name and I stopped him? Good question. Why would John confess that to Jesus Christ? Maybe he wanted an answer, but more than likely, he was probably a little bit convicted in his life of this situation. His heart began to change. His heart began to soften, and he began to understand the ministry and how widespread it was in the world. So he's probably a little bit convicted, especially when he gathered around Jesus. You see, the more he hung around Jesus, the more tender his heart was becoming. The love was starting to grow in his heart for others. The Son of Thunder was leaving, and it was being replaced with the Apostle of Love as he grew in his faith. When God tenderizes us, it can be difficult. Think about your own life for a moment. When God changes our hearts in a way we begin to see our own sin, that becomes hard, doesn't it? It can become convicting in your life. And we don't always enjoy that. But it's exactly what you and I need. That's part of the sanctification process of becoming more like Jesus, is that we become exposed. We begin to recognize through the help of the Holy Spirit that we are sinners and we see the things that we're doing wrong and we make a decision that we want to change the way we live our lives. It's good for us. It's hard work. We don't like it when somebody points things out to us and maybe the way we're living or what we're doing in our life, especially if it comes from God. We might resist. But it is good for us because we become more like Jesus in our life. It's all part of the growing and maturing process of being a follower of Jesus Christ. John went through these things. You're going to go through these types of things in your life. As the Holy Spirit works in you, I hope and I pray that the more you spend time with Jesus, the more you are changed. Now, it can go the other way, too. If you're not around Jesus much, you're going to backslide. Things are going to go south for you in your faith because you're not walking with Him from day to day to day. And the Christian life can often be one of ups and downs, of closeness to God, of feeling far from God in our life. Hang on to that thought when we talk about John. As John matured in his faith, he wrote an amazing amount on what love should look like as we live our lives here on this earth. 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. If you want something to do, they're short books. They talk an awful lot about love. How you should be. The way you should act. The way God loves you and I. It's unremarkable. You can't put that in words that make any sense, the love that God has for us. But John tries. He tries. Our love for Christ, Christ's love for His church, the love we should have for one another, they are all hallmarks of the true believer. We should possess these things, is what John is trying to tell us as he grows in his faith and as he learns from Jesus Christ of who we should be as a follower. You know, the kingdom needs people like this today. They need people of courage, of ambition, of passion and zeal, which John and James, they had. They had this passion for truth in love. John learned that love doesn't parade itself around like he did in his early life. He learned and he became humble in his heart that he's still a sinner just like you and I, in need of God's grace. He learned that love is not puffed up. Love doesn't behave rudely. It's not selfish. Love puts others first. True love is serving one another. He learned to balance truth with love in his life. These are all things that he wrote about. These are all things that he talked about in Scripture for us to learn and to grow from. But let me also tell you this. When he writes Scripture, which I read in 1 John this morning, it's very pointed, which is good. You know where you stand with John. It's black and it's white. There's nothing in between. He writes about light versus darkness. Life against death. The kingdom of God against the kingdom of evil. Children of God against children of Satan. The righteous versus the wicked in this world. He details all that stuff and he speaks truth on what happens with those people. He knows where sinners go. He knows where a sinner goes when they don't repent and they don't accept Jesus Christ. He speaks of hell often in his writing. It's a real place. Sinners go there, is what he says. But different story for those who follow Jesus Christ and ask that repentance. And they follow him with all their hearts. And they learn to love their neighbor. And they learn to love God with all their heart, soul, and mind. He draws a clear line where we should stand. What he wrote will not soothe you sometimes. It will agitate you maybe sometimes, but that's a good thing because we need that correction sometime in our lives as we live. There's no middle ground with him. He puts it right out there. Now, he also understood that we will sin. He got the big picture of Jesus Christ and the grace that shed upon his people who follow Jesus and who call him Lord and Savior. But what he's more concerned about is your overall pattern of life. He knows that you're going to stumble and fall from time to time. But he wants you to get it corrected and get it figured out and return to the Lord. Repent of that sin. Move away from that sin and call upon Jesus. That's what he wants us to do. That's the point he's trying to make in our lives. And so let me ask you this question this morning. Do we continue in sin or do we turn from it and repent and cling to God? That's the point that John's trying to make. And his answer is flee from sin. Flee from it. John knew that unrepentant sin led to hell. The main point of John's life is that we balance truth of Scripture with love. Now, if not, we become unloving, we become harsh, brash, or we become loving without the truth and anything goes. Now, I want to go a little bit deeper with you here this morning. Put on your thinking caps because we're going to look at the nation we live in, but I want you to understand where I'm going to go here in this next few pages of my message this morning. It's important for you to realize what's going on in our nation today. Because these things are starting to play out as according to Scripture. And we talk about the truth, and we talk about truth and love and so on and so on. I'm going to bring some things up that hopefully they'll ring a bell with you this morning and you begin to see what's going on in our nation. In his younger years, John was all about the truth. And it came off harsh at times. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love the Lord Jesus with all your heart and soul and mind. Flee from evil, get away from sin, you're going to go to hell. That's how he preached, that's how he talked, that's his message today. But over time, he learned to balance the truth of Scripture with love. We need to do the same thing in our lives. You need to balance the truth of Scripture with love. That can be a hard thing to do. One of the hardest things that you'll do as a Christian is to balance those two things. Because when you see somebody doing something wrong, the first thing you want to do is what? Scold, right? Point it out to them. That's wrong. You shouldn't do that. Right? That's our natural tendency to do that. But John says, that's how I used to be. But then he learned how to love and tie the two together in your life. And we need to do the same thing. But let me tell you some things that are going on today that you need to be aware of. Many people today are living an unbalanced life when it comes to love and to truth. Even in the church, this happens. But especially in the culture of America today, we live in this unbalanced situation that needs to be corrected. And let me explain this a little bit to you this morning. Now John, he's mostly in the other direction about truth in his life. This is the truth of the word. But we live in a culture today that is heavy on love. You've heard it. Love accepts what? Everything. That is unbiblical. That's the point John's trying to make. You've heard love tied to a word that starts with a T. Anybody want to guess what that word would be? Tolerance. Love accepts tolerance, meaning that you accept everything that goes in the world that we live in today. And John stood on the truth on this side of the truth of Scripture. We live in a society today that is heavy on love, that's way on this side, and it's way out of balance. People don't speak truth and love anymore. You know what I'm talking about. The society we live in. If we speak harshly against somebody or we call somebody out because we think that you're living in a sinful lifestyle, right away people will call us a bigot. You're a hater. Because we try to speak truth with love in our lives. We place so much emphasis on love, which makes us ignorant. It deceives us and allows us to believe that sin is okay. Because love covers it all. See, that's the point of John's message here. He says, you can love, but there also has to be truth. And love without truth is tainted. It is bad. It is no good. And it leads people to hell. Those might be hard words to hear today. But that is the truth that John is trying to make in Scripture here this morning. This type of love, the love that we're living today in the United States of America, that love is tolerant, love accepts everything, misleads us. And at an alarming rate, it's pulling people out of churches. People are being led astray. They think that they've got it figured out. Satan is winning in America because of the way we have balanced truth with love, which is way out of whack. You can see what I'm talking about in the world we live in today. This kind of love without the truth of Scripture, it's a substitute. Now look on the screen this morning. I have some substitutes up there. How many of you like Oreos? Oh yeah, there's some hands going up there. Have you ever had substitute Oreos? Right? Some of us had. I got some of it's called cream betweens. Never had those, but I found a picture on the internet this past week. You know, you can have cream betweens, but they are not Oreos, right? Right. All right, now Cool Whip. How many of you have had substitute Cool Whip? It's not bad, right? But when you get the Cool Whip brand, it is the best. Right? Yes, you know what I'm talking about. So the point I want to make to you today, and I'm borrowing this from some people that I know that I've learned about this situation, that sin is so close to the truth, but yet it's not the truth. Cream betweens are not Oreos. Great Value whipped topping is not Cool Whip. Truth without love, love without truth will not work. It is a substitute when we put something else hooked on to love, such as tolerance or accepting everything that goes in the world we live in. It's close, but it's not the truth. That's the point that John is trying to make to us as he writes on love and what it should look like, what sanctification should look like, what a maturing Christian should look like in their life when it comes to these types of things. Some of you now are not going to buy a substitute Oreo the rest of your life, are you? Yes. But you get the point of the world that we live in. The culture tries to sell you something that is so close to the truth of Scripture, but it's not the truth. And you have to sort through that. And you have to determine through the word of what's right and what's wrong in the world that you live in. That's your job as a Christian. And you might see people that are in sin, and you might have a relationship with them, and you might be the one to tell them or point their sin out, but you need to figure out how to do that in love, because they need to hear the truth. Because if you don't tell them the truth, you mislead them. And where does unrepentant sin lead? To where? To hell. And you don't want that to happen to your loved ones, to your family, to your friends, to those you know. You speak truth in love. Now, there's a flip side to this. If you speak nothing but truth and you have no love, you will become judgmental. People will say, well, you're judging me. You've heard that said. You'll become condescending. You might even become unloving towards sinners that you know are living outright sinful life. You might write them off like John did when this guy in Scripture was trying to do ministry in Jesus' name. He said, you need to stop. So you have to be careful that you don't become so far to the truth that you lose love and you become a brash, judgmental person that thinks they got it all figured out. There's that balance that you need to have in your life. The truly godly person must learn to cultivate both virtues of love and truth in equal proportions. This is the hard work I told you about. This is the hardest thing for a Christian to do. Because a lot of times we get unbalanced. Sometimes our emotions will take over, or sometimes our character will kick in, and we get in different situations and we want to say the wrong things or do the wrong things. And we got to sit back, we got to pray that we keep the balance of truth and love. You know, as John walked with Jesus, this is what he recognized. This is what he learned, how to balance those two things in his life. Now, I'm sure Jesus pointed them out from time to time. Say, hey, John, you need to work on this area. You shouldn't act like that. You need to love your brother or sister, even though they're sinners, but tell them the truth. And so here's the point I want to make to you in the blue box this morning. You need to know the truth, and you need to uphold it in love. That's what it looks like. Know the truth and uphold it in love. Now, you can apply this to many things in your life. Know the truth and uphold it in love. And may I close with the verse on the bottom of the screen from 1 Corinthians 13, verse 6. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. And all of God's people said,